Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, August 10th, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, where we have the three groans. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 to 27. And this passage has illustrations of the principle of undeserved suffering for blessing. They are described by three groans. The first groan is the groan of nature, Romans 8, verses 19 to 22. The second groan is the groan of the spiritually mature believer who is qualified to receive undeserved suffering for blessing, the greatest mantle of honor that any winner believer can receive. That's Romans 8, 23 to 25. And then the third groan is the groan of the Holy Spirit. And this is very unique because it relates back to the second groan. Many times that winner believer going through intense, undeserved suffering for blessing has a hard time praying with regard to himself. So God the Holy Spirit has an intercessory ministry. The intercessory prayer of God the Holy Spirit for that spiritually mature believer in intensified, undeserved suffering. That's the third groan, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Really fantastic in God's amazing grace. The first groan is the groan of nature, Romans 8, 19 to 22. It sounds like this in corrected translation. For the confident expectation of creation, nature, waits eagerly, and we have a verb here, it's used all the way through here three times, op ek dekomai, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. That revealing of the sons of God, we're the sons of God. We are the bride of Christ who will return with Jesus Christ at the second advent. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. When he comes back as the groom, he brings his bride with him. We are his bride. And that's the sons of God. So when Christ comes back at the second advent, we have the revealing of the sons of God. And nature is waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, that was at the fall of man, against its own will, an illustration of undeserved suffering, but because of the one who has subordinated it on the basis of the hope, the absolute confidence of the second advent, the revealing of the sons of God and the millennial kingdom. Therefore, even the material universe will also be set free from corrupting slavery and brought safely into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we have learned Bible doctrine in the past, with the result that we know Bible doctrine now in the present, namely, that the entire realm of nature groans together with us and suffers the pains of childbirth with us until now. From the fall of man, we saw that in Genesis chapter 3, from the fall of man right up to the present, nature has shared in man's condemnation at the fall, and therefore has shared undeservedly. Nature will continue under the curse throughout the rest of the church age and throughout the tribulation, but then at the second advent of Jesus Christ, when he returns in the establishment of the millennial kingdom, perfect environment for 1,000 years on planet Earth, nature will be delivered from the curse. So the groaning of nature looks back at the fall of man, while the pains of childbirth look forward to the second advent. Once the mother gives birth to the child, the birth pains are over. And so the birth is related to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revealing of the sons of God, and the establishment of the millennial kingdom on planet Earth. That's groan one. Groan number two is the groaning of the spiritually mature believer. Now, I think reversionistic believers groan too, but that's a different deal. That's not what we have here. Reversionistic believers, they have divine discipline, punitive suffering, not suffering for blessing, but punitive suffering, warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline, and that's a different deal. But that's not what we have here in verses 23 to 25. This is the groaning of the spiritually mature believer. And we've exegeted most of verse 23, most. We stopped at the appositional phrase, which is the key to knowing what's being said here. So far, verse 23 sounds like this in corrected translation. And not only this, that is the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we ourselves, this is spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, from God the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And then we have that same verb again, op ek dekomai, waiting eagerly for our adoption. Now the key word here is that word first fruits. Op arche. Looks like that in the Greek. It's A-P-A-R-C-H, long E. Op arche. Now, it is translated first fruits, but what does the first fruit mean? It means a down payment. It means a guarantee. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, is putting the spotlight on the first fruits from the Spirit. Every church age believer has the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. That happens at the moment of your faith in Christ. You're indwelt with the Spirit, which makes your body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of God the Father. And the indwelling of the Spirit serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. So it acts as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And this is how the church age believer grows up and attains spiritual maturity. That's the objective. God has a plan. The plan of God did not stop at salvation. That's when it started. So at the moment of faith in Christ, the gun went off, and now you're in a spiritual race. And the objective is to grow up. When you start out, you're a baby. God wants you to grow up from a baby to adolescence to spiritual maturity. That's the objective of the plan of God in the short time that we're here on planet Earth. And we're only here a very short time. But God's plan is for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ to grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first fruits from the Spirit are tantamount to the greater grace blessings poured out on the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer. And these greater grace blessings of spiritual maturity are first fruits. They are a down payment. They are the guarantee that the spiritually mature believer will receive greater grace blessings and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God for all eternity. They are called first fruits because they are merely the down payment. They are the guarantee of what is to come in eternity. The first fruits from the Spirit, greater grace blessing for the spiritually mature believer in time, are the best blessing in our very short life here on earth. And they are a guarantee of greater than the best blessings for all eternity. The spiritually mature believer's greater grace blessings in time glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in time. And they are then parlayed into eternal rewards and blessings which will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever. So the blessings of spiritual maturity are the first fruits of the blessings of eternity. And then we have the groaning verb. All three times we have this groaning verb, stenazo. Looks like that in the Greek. That's S-T-E-N-A-Z, long O, stenazo. And this is the verb that once again it means to groan. And we have within ourselves, when the spiritually mature believer receives that highest honor that can be given to a believer, undeserved suffering for blessing, he groans. The groan is the reality of undeserved suffering to the spiritually mature believer. And for suffering to be suffering, it must hurt. And it does. It's intensified many times, and there's a lot of pain there. Therefore, the groan. This groan is described in, we studied it in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, It was the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh, and we studied that. We've seen that many times. And then we have once again our friend Opechdekomai. Looks like that in the Greek, Apechdekomai. Opechdekomai. And this is, once again, this is the verb to wait eagerly for someone, to wait eagerly for something. This is the confident expectation of the spiritually mature believer. The spiritually mature believer is waiting in super eager anticipation for his greater grace blessings for all eternity. And those greater grace blessings for all eternity will be awarded to the spiritually mature believer following the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. Then we have the great genuflex in the sky, and then the judgment seat of Christ, where we are all evaluated, and the winner believer receives his crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, given to you in your resurrection body. And they not only are rewards and crowns that you have for all eternity, but they're rewards and crowns that glorify God for all eternity. So this is the confident expectation of the spiritually mature believer. He is waiting in eager anticipation for the greater grace blessings in eternity, the undeserved suffering that God gives to the spiritually mature believer in time is God's guarantee of your phenomenal greater grace blessings for all eternity. The spiritually mature believer is opechdekomaiing. He's waiting eagerly for his huiothesia, that is his adoption as adult sons. And this is the spiritually mature believer waiting eagerly for his ultimate sanctification. He's waiting eagerly for his resurrection body and the greater grace blessings awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Amazing, great crowns and rewards. And the verb opechdekomai is in the customary present. The customary present makes a statement of general timeless fact. This opechdekomai is the mental attitude of the winner believer, the mental attitude of the spiritually mature believer. The middle voice is deponent. It's middle in form, but active in meaning. The spiritually mature believer performs the action of waiting in eager anticipation for his adoption, anticipating greater grace blessing for all eternity. And the indicative mood is declarative. This is a fact, a reality for the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer. And the word huiothesia, that's the word adoption. In our verse, in verse 23, it is referring specifically to the spiritually mature believer in ultimate sanctification. It refers to the spiritually mature believer waiting eagerly for his resurrection body, which is the home or the target for the real imputation of his greater grace blessing, crowns and rewards awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. So we have so far. And not only this, the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we ourselves, spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption. Now, the last part of this verse, we have an appositional phrase. Very, very important. This tells us what this adoption is referring to in our verse. So we have, that is the redemption of our body. The Apostle Paul has put in this appositional phrase so we know exactly what he's saying here. So this is the accusative singular of apolutrosis with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of soma with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Now, apolutrosis, looks like that in the Greek, that's A-P-O-L-U-T-R, long O-S-I-S, apolutrosis. And apolutrosis is the Greek verb for redemption. And then we have not psuche, not soul, but soma. S long O M A, soma. And soma is the Greek word for body. And here it's used for the resurrection body. The genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, our resurrection body. So the corrected translation, namely the redemption of our body. Namely, the redemption of our body. And that happens at the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. That's where we receive our resurrection body. So, this is very, that appositional phrase is absolutely the key here. All right? Let's get a couple of things. One, the redemption of our body must be distinguished from the redemption of our soul. The redemption of our body must be distinguished from the redemption of our soul. Now, if you're here and you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, at that very moment of faith in Christ, you had the redemption of your soul. Right then, at the moment of faith in Christ. So, point two, the redemption of the soul occurs at salvation. The redemption of the soul occurs at the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ. That's redemption of the soul. But we don't have that here. We have, namely, the redemption of our body. Three, the redemption of the body occurs at our resurrection. And that is at the rapture. The rapture of the church, the resurrection of the royal family of God. That's when we have the redemption of the body. Four, this is when the church age believer receives his resurrection body. And, I don't know about all of you. I am really looking forward to my resurrection body. Are you looking forward to your resurrection body? Joe, are you looking forward to your resurrection body? You fellas looking for your resurrection body? You can even say amen if you want. That's all right. I mean, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, point five, just as nature groans in anticipation of its pristine glory at the second advent of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the millennial kingdom, just as nature is groaning in anticipation of the pristine glory at the second advent of Christ and the establishment of the 1,000-year perfect environment, millennial kingdom, so the spiritually mature believer groans in anticipation of his resurrection body at the rapture. So the spiritually mature believer groans in anticipation of his resurrection body at the rapture. So now we have verse 23 completed. And not only this, that's the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we ourselves, the winner believers, the spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits from the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption, namely the redemption of our body, our resurrection body that we received at the rapture. All right? Okay. One. No matter how great or how intense the undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer may be in time, no matter how great or how intense the undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer may be in time, it is a blessing. It's one of the greatest blessings that can be bestowed by God on the spiritually mature believer. Now, we're studying, God has a whole greater grace blessing package, a whole package. And we're studying that during the week. But here is the greatest of all those greater grace blessing in that package. The greatest one is when you qualify to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. What an honor. What a privilege. You have the opportunity of glorifying God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity or good health. So no matter how great or how intense the undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer may be in time, it is a blessing that guarantees greater grace blessing in eternity. It is a blessing that guarantees greater grace blessing in eternity. There's no equality in heaven. There are winner believers, loser believers. There are believers with the most fantastic greater grace blessing, crowns and rewards awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be loser believers standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and they'll be standing there with shame because they failed to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for their life. Now, it'll be a temporary shame at that moment at the judgment seat of Christ, but they will be for all eternity without those crowns and rewards, or with a little of the crowns and rewards. But the winner believer will have the greatest blessings of crowns and rewards that glorify God for all eternity. So two, undeserved suffering for blessing is given to the spiritually mature believer in time. Undeserved suffering for blessing is given to the spiritually mature believer in time. And we have had people, and we have people right now in our congregation that are right here. This is where they are. They are winner believers, they're spiritually mature believers, and they have been honored. They have the honor and the privilege of wearing the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. And it oftentimes is very intense. And I've seen it, and I recognize it, and you have, those believers have everything. They have the, you see, you're running, you get to run hurdles. I love that. Here we are. I got a congregation of winner believers, and you get to run the spiritual hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? Running the hurdles. Precisely correct procedures, but you have it. precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices that he's given to you. And you know them, you believe them, you have them on the flat line of the soul, forward line of troops in your soul, and you apply them and clear the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing, and you glorify God in time of suffering as well as in time of prosperity. So undeserved suffering for blessing is given to the spiritually mature believer in time to demonstrate that the power of God is greater than the power of the ruler of this world, Satan. Undeserved suffering for blessing is given to the spiritually mature believer in time to demonstrate that the power of God is greater than the power of the ruler of this world, Satan. Three, undeserved suffering for blessing is given in time to guarantee future blessing in eternity, crowns and rewards given at the judgment seat of Christ. Undeserved suffering for blessing is given in time to guarantee future blessing in eternity, crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Four, undeserved suffering for blessing in time is the down payment on that future reward. Undeserved suffering for blessing in time is the down payment on that future reward. Five, the winner believer's undeserved suffering in time gets his eyes on the fantastic future blessings that will be awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believer's undeserved suffering in time gets his eyes on the fantastic future blessings that will be awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Six, the spiritually mature believer clears the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing by the grace and the power of God. The spiritually mature believer clears the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing by the grace and power of God. He knows the precisely correct procedure. He knows God's problem-solving devices. He's learned them. He believes them. He lives his life by them. And he clears the spiritual hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing. Seven. The most intense suffering and the most of the best of all come to the spiritually mature believer as he clears the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing. And as he clears the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing, he glorifies God to the maximum. Glorifies God to the maximum. And we've had some wonderful, amazing winner believers in Upland Bible Church. And they are now in heaven. They are absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're in their mansion in heaven. And They're waiting for their resurrection. They have an interim body right now, waiting for the resurrection when they get the resurrection body. And there then will be the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be the most phenomenal crowns and rewards, greater grace, blessings given to them for all eternity. And I think about them. I have the most wonderful, fragrant memories. In fact, we were watching a show the other night, and there was a group of men that sang in harmony. Well, Randy Frick, he always would say to me, you just don't hear harmony much anymore. I love listening to harmony. Well, we went to Lowry's at Christmas time. That's a great time to go to Lowry's, Christmas time. And they have groups come around and they sing, and you get to pick the hymn you like them to sing. So we picked them, and they sang in harmony. No musical instruments. They sing in great, wonderful harmony. And Randy, you just don't hear great harmony like that anymore. That was great harmony. And we had I think about Randy, and I think about Don. I think about, well, we have Don and Don. We've got the Dons have it. And I have nothing but a soul full of fragrant memories of those men and ladies as well, widows that are now absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, that were the best, some of the greatest believers in this church. So I don't know if you all appreciate it. Widow believers who were winner believers. And they honored and glorified God to the absolute maximum, and now they're in heaven. So, as the winner believer clears the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing, he glorifies God to the maximum. All right, now that brings us to verse 24. We have two more verses for the second groan. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope. The postpositive conjunction gar plus the aorist passive indicative of sozo plus the dative singular of elpis with the definite article. The postpositive conjunction gar looks like that in the Greek, G-A-R, gar. And this is an explanatory gar, and you translated correctly, for. Now Paul is going to explain what he just taught at the end of verse 23. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption, namely, the redemption of our body. That's at the rapture, our resurrection body. And then we have elpis. E-L-P-I-S, elpis. And this is the word that's usually translated hope, but it means, it's not I hope so. I hope this happens. No. It's expectation, confidence, anticipation, expectation. It means you believe absolutely it's going to happen. That's hope. Hope refers to the spiritually mature believer's expectation and anticipation of that future hope, which is His resurrection body at the rapture, and living with God forever and ever. And he will have, looking forward to that resurrection body, he's looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. where he will receive crowns and rewards, and he knows that that resurrection body is the home, that's the target for these greater grace blessings, these crowns and rewards that will be given to him at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's looking forward to that confident expectation and anticipation. And then the dative case of elpis is the dative of reference or respect. In this use, the noun in the dative is that in reference to which or in respect to which something is true. And then the verb sozo. Looks like that in the Greek, S long O, Z long O, sozo. All right, a couple of things. Literally, sozo means to save. It means to keep from harm. It means to preserve. It means to rescue. Literally, to save, to keep from harm, to preserve, to rescue. Two, sozo is used in our verse for eternal salvation. Eternal salvation at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, at the moment of faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Three, the passive voice of sozo is the voice of grace, the voice of grace. And you know this, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved by faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the passive voice of sozo is the voice of grace. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When Debbie was having her cancer surgery, I was in the waiting room, and it was totally packed. In fact, I had a seat, but some ladies came in, so I got up and gave them my seat, and I stood to the side. And I was waiting for the doctor to come out and tell me how everything went. And this older gentleman came up to me, and he said, you have someone you're waiting for? I said, my wife is having cancer surgery. And I said, I know God has a perfect plan for her life. He said, and she knows God has a perfect plan for her life, and whatever he decides, that's great. And we give him the honor and him the glory no matter what he decides in that perfect plan. And he said, well, you standing here, you have the most wonderful countenance. See, you don't appreciate your pastor and the wonderful countenance I have. I've never heard any of you tell me that I have a wonderful countenance. You've never told me that. But this guy, you have a wonderful countenance. I thought right there, you know what? I think this guy's a Mormon. And so I gave him the grace gospel. I said, are you a Christian? He says, yes, I'm a Mormon. I said, are you going to be in heaven? Yes. I've done all these wonderful works. I've done these works and these works and these works. I know I'm going to be in heaven. And I said, well, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I heard that was in the Bible somewhere. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. When you go back to your seat, check that one out. Circle it, underline it. And that's the grace of God. The passive voice of sozo is the voice of grace. Salvation is by grace and not by works. 4, in the passive voice and in the aorist tense, sozo means we were saved. We have received eternal salvation by grace. 5, we were saved for the purpose of having a glorious, wonderful future. We were saved for the purpose of having a glorious, wonderful future. So we have, for with reference to that future hope, resurrection, the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, we have been saved, eternal salvation. For with reference to that future hope, the resurrection, that the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, we have been saved. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there, take a break, give you a chance. Some of you complained that I got the temperature too low in here, but I want to keep you awake. And not everybody go to sleep when you get in here. Now, if you want to warm up, go outside and just sweat. Then come back in a few for part 2.